96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. My name is K. Quincy Parker, and it is my pleasure to be with you this morning. And today is, well, earlier this weekend, the weekend passed, something happened in the United States that I thought was just fascinating. And I wanted to chat with you about it here on Guardian Radio AM today. But the fact is, there was a leaked Supreme Court draft opinion, which showed that the United States Supreme Court is preparing to overturn Roe versus Wade, in which the decision to have an abortion is that decision is legally made the choice of the mother. It was one of the landmark pieces of court judgment that allowed what have come to be called free choice rights and those sorts of things. And the court, the draft was written by U.S. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, and it was very clear in Justice Alito's reading that that Roe versus Wade must be overturned. Now, the U.S. President Joe Biden had some comments about that ruling, the draft opinion, and I'd like to share with you, Kermit, this is the first clip, to play Joe Biden's comments on the Supreme Court draft opinion on abortion.
That concerns me a great deal that we're going to, after 50 years, decide a woman does not have a right to choose within the limits of the Supreme Court decision in case. You know, if this decision holds, it's really quite a radical decision. And again, the underlying premise, again, I've not had a chance to thoroughly go into the report, the decision. But it basically says all the decisions relating to your private life, who you marry, whether or not you decide to conceive a child or not, whether or not you can have an abortion, a range of other decisions, whether or not how you raise your child. What does this do? And does this mean that in Florida they can decide they're going to pass a law saying that same-sex marriage is not permissible? It's against the law in Florida? And so there's a whole, it's a fundamental shift in American jurisprudence.
Can it do away with the filibuster to codify Roe?
I'm not prepared to make those judgments now I think the codification of Roe makes a lot of sense.
So U.S. President Joe Biden is concerned about a radical Supreme Court making what is tremendous change. And he's wary of the precedent that change might set. According to him, it goes beyond simply reproductive rights, as they are called, and calls a lot of other things into question. So the draft was from February and was published by Politico on Monday night. And if it ends up being similar to the court's final opinion, which is expected next month, then that would significantly rewrite reproductive rights in the U.S. But let's not get lost in the woods. The fact is, the ruling shows that the U.S. High Court is poised to strike down abortion rights enshrined in Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. How could I make that a definitive statement that way? Well, because Chief Justice John Roberts pointed out that it was a first draft and said that it doesn't represent a final decision in the case. What he did not say was that Alito was wrong. And what he did not say was that the rest of the court is likely of a different view. The fact is, Alito is one of the conservative justices on the court. And well, we'll get to that part in just a bit. So up to 26 states are expected to impose new limits on abortion if Roe and Casey are overturned. And among the arguments surrounding the ruling, of course, politics arises. The right argues that the current Supreme Court, which definitely has a conservative bent, is the result of political maneuvering and is out of sync with the more liberal leaning majority of voters in America. So what does that mean? As we've pointed out, Alito is conservative. Neil Gorsuch is on the court because Senate Republicans blocked an Obama nomination. That means Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, who replaced the justice who helped craft the ruling upholding abortion rights, and Amy Coney Barrett, who was also on the court because Senate Republicans ignored a standard set in Obama's term, are all acknowledged conservatives. So the court has 9 members, 6-3, in terms of conservative versus liberal, and that's where the question of whether to overturn Roe versus Wade or Planned Parenthood versus Casey is going to be decided. And the other side of the political fight, of course, is elections. Upcoming gubernatorial elections or congressional elections now have a lot more currency. They're a lot more important because Politico, which released the draft, shows that they have a poll that says 50% of Americans say Roe versus Wade should not be overturned, versus 28% of Americans who say it should. Now that's a battle the Democrats want to have. And in this report from a reporter who was talking to Sam Shepard on CNBC, he sort of explains how the Democrats are hoping to take advantage, so to speak, of this fight. Kermit, if you could.
If you can't come to us, we'll come to you.
I remember. While we're queuing that up, you can just play it when it's ready, Kermit. So while we're queuing it up, just to reiterate, the political poll shows that 50% of Americans say that Roe versus Wade should not be overturned, versus 28% of Americans who say it should. There is not even a need for a margin of error in a poll like that. It's almost a 2-to-1 choice, and it supports the idea that the public leans one way on this issue, but the court leans another way. All right, so Kermit, if we're ready, let's go for it again.
Be a rare opportunity to reinvigorate their otherwise disillusioned of voters ahead of what is likely to be a bleak midterm election for them. For the first time since 1973, abortion rights appear likely to be stripped away. They can be made illegal. The argument that Democrats are planning to make to voters, who, by the way, by margins of 2-to-1 around the country, agree with their view that Roe v. Wade should be upheld, they are going to argue that the way to protect abortion now is to vote Democrat up and down the ballot in governor's races, where those candidates are going to get to decide whether to sign or veto legislation around abortion. At the congressional level, they're going to argue that Republicans could pursue a nationwide abortion ban if this ruling comes down the way that draft opinion by Justice Alito suggested it would, and that other rights, President Biden said this today, other rights like same-sex marriage and contraception could be next under the 6-to-3 conservative majority, the most conservative in nearly a century that the Republicans in the Senate have built. That is the argument that Democrats are planning to use in TV ads, radio, digital ads, and field organizing. Strategists we talk to around the country on the Democratic side say this has lit a fire.
You know, we've talked about the Democrats almost exclusively because the Republicans aren't talking about this, not about the content of the leak. Much different approach.
A very different approach, precisely the opposite one, Shep. Republicans see the same numbers everyone else does. They recognize this is not a winning political issue for them ahead of what is likely to be a very good midterm election for them. They have so far focused on the fact that this leaked. It was a startling breach of Supreme Court procedure, and they've steered the conversation away from this substance. They prefer to run the election on issues where President Biden's approval rating is weaker: economy, inflation, crime, immigration, and border security. And to the extent that they're talking about abortion at all, well, party leaders have advised Republican candidates to steer the conversation to a subcategory of abortion issues where Republicans have a winning argument, specifically the banning of late-term abortion. The reality, however, Shep, is that Republican states, conservative states around the country, are pursuing much more aggressive abortion bans.
Sahil Kapoor, thanks very much.
Yeah, so there... so there it is. There we have the argument from the perspective of the Democrats, it being, you know, don't leave this to the court. Don't leave this to the Republican Party, which has already stacked the court and successfully managed to engineer a situation where the Supreme Court, which is responsible for creating the legislative impetus and the judicial protections that underpin the American culture, is reflective by a margin of 2-to-1 of the more conservative views in America, which are definitively out of sync with the majority of American citizens. So federal protections for rights have withstood legal challenges for nearly half a century, but Justice Alito's draft remarks show that the court has grown far more conservative during the Trump administration, even as Americans have gone broadly more liberal in the pivotal years since abortion rulings, like 1973 Roe versus Wade, or 1992 Planned Parenthood versus Casey. So here we have a brief look at the draft ruling. Now, it's 98 pages, so I encourage you to go find it and read it online. You can start at Politico, who leaked it. And if you're interested, find it online. We're only going to be able to look at some very brief highlights. Plus, I want to open the phone lines and get text messages as well. So we're going to zoom through this really quick. It's a 98-page draft opinion. And in it, Justice Samuel Alito looked at the history of abortion policies in the U.S. to bolster his conclusion that Roe versus Wade and the ruling Casey versus Planned Parenthood, which we'll look at in a second, must be overruled. The justice pointed out that, number one, abortion is not a constitutionally protected right. He pointed out that the U.S. Constitution itself makes no reference to abortion. And while he acknowledged that the court has interpreted the 14th Amendment to guarantee some rights that are not explicitly spelled out, Alito cited precedent stating that those rights must be deeply rooted in U.S. traditions and, quote, implicit in the concept of ordered liberty, unquote. Alito's argument, of course, is that the right to abortion does not fall within that category. And then he said that up until the latter part of the 20th century, there was no support in American law for a constitutional right to an abortion, unquote. So through the ruling, he looks at the history, pointing out that abortion was outlawed in 3/4 of the United States at the time the 14th Amendment was adopted in the 1860s. And the 30 states had banned the procedure at all stages of pregnancy by the time Roe versus Wade was argued in 1973. And after examining the history of arguments supporting abortion rights, Justice Alito considered Roe versus Wade itself. So what is Roe versus Wade? It's very simple. In 1970, March of 1970, an unmarried and pregnant woman in Texas, identified at the time by the pseudonym Jane Roe, brought a federal case against the district attorney for Dallas County. She alleged that the state's abortion law was unconstitutional. And what she said was that the law violated her right of personal privacy under the Constitution. Jane Roe is now known to be Norma McCorvey, but that's neither here nor there. The federal district court that heard the case struck down the Texas abortion law, writing that the, quote, the fundamental right of single women and married persons to choose whether to have children is protected by the 9th Amendment through the 14th Amendment, unquote. And in January of 1973, the Supreme Court, in a 7-2 ruling, held that the right to privacy conveyed by the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment allowed a person to choose to have an abortion until the point of fetal viability. That line, which described the point at which a fetus is able to live outside the womb, was considered to be around 24 weeks after conception. The court ruled that the government, quote, has legitimate interests in protecting both the pregnant woman's health and the potentiality of human life, unquote, and said that the balance of those interests shifts during each trimester of the pregnancy. So the next case Alito considers that must be overturned is Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And in this 1992 opinion, Casey, the court re-examined the fundamental tenets of the precedent established by Roe. The case itself centered on a number of restricted provisions within a Pennsylvania abortion law. And among them were requirements that doctors explain potential negative consequences to women seeking abortions, known as informed consent, and that those women notify their husbands before getting the procedure, with some exceptions. A federal district court blocked the enforcement, but the U.S. Court of Appeal upheld most of them. It struck down the spousal notification requirement. The case came before a more conservative slate of justices than the group that decided Roe, but in a 5-4 ruling, the court reaffirmed the core of Roe, enshrining the right to choose to have an abortion before fetal viability. However, the justices in Casey threw out Roe's trimester timeline and established a new standard that any government regulations on abortion before the point of fetal viability must not impose an undue burden on a woman's right to choose. So, what would an America without Roe versus Wade look like? The New York Times suggested that legal abortions would fall, particularly among poor women in the South and the Midwest, and out-of-state travel, abortion pills would play a bigger role. Here are some questions to help us consider. Sorry, folks. Yes, we are absolutely taking phone calls. And we are taking text messages as well. I just wanted to set a a foundation for our conversation. So if Roe versus Wade were overturned, would abortion become illegal everywhere in the United States? The answer is no. Individual states would decide whether and when abortions would be legal. Many states would continue to allow them, and some have even begun making provisions to help serve women who are likely to restrict abortion. Right now, abortion remains legal in every state in the U.S. So we have some other questions we could ask, but before we open the phone lines, I just want to look at the home view. The question, of course, is abortion legal in the Bahamas? The answer is no. The Bahamas Penal Code makes it very clear in Chapter 313, Section 315, whoever intentionally and unlawfully causes abortion or miscarriage shall be liable to imprisonment for 10 years. 331 says the offense of causing abortion or miscarriage of a woman can be committed either by that woman or any other person. And that woman or any other person can be guilty of using means with intent to commit that offense, although the woman is not in fact pregnant. And the offense of causing abortion can be committed by causing a woman to be prematurely delivered of a child with intent unlawfully to cause or hasten the death of the child. And finally, before we go to the phone lines, in February of this year, Minister of Health, Dr. Michael Darville, skirted the question of how he personally viewed the matter and was unable to definitively state the Davis administration's stance on elective abortions. Responding to questions on the decriminalization of abortion in the Bahamas, the minister said it's an issue that needs to be brought to the cabinet. And that was the way he chose to sidestep giving a personal view on the issue. Now, let's talk about it. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. You can text us at 42296, and we'd love to hear your thoughts, your views on this incredibly important potential change in what's going on with reproductive rights and reproductive health in one of the most important countries in certainly in terms of how we carry on our own affairs. This text says, Q, here's the ridiculousness and disingenuousness of Republicans and the pro-life movement. They are against abortion, but they are 100% for the death penalty. How does that make sense? Oh, and this person is, Dwight, this one is for you. OMG, please find a replacement for this spot. Goodness. Thank you, Texter. We appreciate you. This Texter says, great show, as usual. I think this is a sensitive topic and the conversation might go left. Abortion is illegal in the Bahamas, but I fully well know a couple of girls who had abortion in Nassau, and females are still having abortions in Nassau, true story. Yes, I believe that we all, those of us who know women and girls who have gotten pregnant in this country, if we were oppressed, we would probably all be able to say that we know someone who has had an abortion in the Bahamas. And the good doctor told to say that, and this would be Dr. Darville, who is the Minister of Health and Wellness. He talked about the Davis's stance on, he used the term elective abortions. And the reason he used that term is because there is a scenario in which a doctor has a decision to make about saving a mother's life or weighing the life of a child versus the life of the mother, and making a decision that would lead to the death of the child in the name of preserving the mother's life, which I suppose is what he would consider a non-elective abortion. But the fact is, our law, according to, does not allow for an elective abortion. And so the Davis administration's stance on it can only be, according to the law, that it's illegal. Now, if that law needs to change to reflect what the Davis administration believes, then that's an entirely different statement. And the minister should be, he's the competent authority. He's the one who gets to make that statement, or at least have carriage of making that argument. But yes, Texter, you're right. There is a great probability, as I say, that there are a number of people in the country who can point to acquaintances or friends. The question is, should we just go ahead and legalize abortion one time? and make it safe for everyone and make it a matter of choice. Caller, thank you for calling. You're live on Guardian Radio AM. This is K. Quincy Parker. How may I be of service?
Hey, morning. Quincy, under the Bahamas. How you doing, sir?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
Hey, blessed, thanks. And I just caught in a couple minutes ago. It'd be nice if you, I just spent like almost 2 minutes on this phone, but thank you for the opportunity. And it's on the set. Listen, for the question, someone says about the comparison between abortion and the system hanging someone. While I'm not bloodthirsty, there's a big difference. One is a penalty for an act that was done against someone, and particularly murder possibly. And so the law has carried it out. Not the person who was offended carrying it out, but the law. Whereas the person, a pregnant mother or a pregnant woman, is killing her own. So that's, and we want to use the word kill. It's actually kill. It's homicide. You may not want to call it murder. And in some cases, murder because it's outside of the law. Additionally, when a woman, because it's a woman who's pregnant. So in this case, why is it that when a child comes forward, if a man doesn't take care of that child, the law requires that that woman could go to court to get that man to pay for that child, who the man won't have nothing to do with. And I'm agreeing with it, but that's the case. But yet, when the child is within that womb, the man who would have impregnated that woman has no say, or that's the woman's right. But the child outside the womb is both of their responsibility. I have a problem with that. I think, and spiritually, from a scriptural, I mean, any sensible person knows that killing of a living person, whether that's in the womb or outside, is an act of homicide. And I would say murder. And in the sight of God, it is murder. We don't need persons, and we using this justification of someone was raped, and I mean, how much percentage of men need to have an abortion? The majority is those who were either loosey-goosey having sex, and then a child came along. Maybe they upset with the man, so they're going to get rid of it. Or there's some other issues. So this is what people are having abortion over. This isn't about someone getting raped, and we need to stop this madness. And then what I find from our leaders, the sad part is, we tell our kids don't fall to peer pressure, but our leaders fall to peer pressure, universal pressure, world pressure. So whatever's happening in one part of the world, we don't want to offend. We don't want to come. We'll just join in. Where's our morals? Where's our standard? You know, why can't we just stand and in spite of what the world is doing? And if it is wrong yesterday, it should be wrong today. You know, this is something new that we are discussing in the world, in the Bahamas, in our society. And yet we're having a serious discussion on whether we should kill a child in the womb. And in some cases, late-term abortion, where they're actually pulling off the hand. And we should let these persons who are so agreeing with it witness that, you know, get a video and witness where these child limbs and heads are being pulled apart, a living child in a womb. This is sickening, you know, and we need, and I don't, you know, you could bring the child forth and give it to some relative who's willing, because in Bahamas side, we'll take our one in a lot of cases. And if you don't want to take it, then put it up for adoption. Oh, you won't just go and ball now just so you get rid of the child so you go back to what you were doing because the child is an inconvenience? No, there's a consequences. And then if it was so much about, last point, it was so much about our own rights, why is it that we outlaw marijuana smoking? Why we outlaw cocaine? You know what? You only have a right to smoke cocaine in our society. If the law catches you, they're going to incarcerate you. But yes, that's your right. You won't kill yourself. You won't go high. You won't whatever. But no, the law has rights that says, no, we're not going to society accept this. And thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, caller. Before you go, I just have one question for you. To be very clear on your last point, you don't agree or you don't believe that the woman should have the right to choose what happens?
Not when it comes to killing another individual that she happened to be housing.
Okay.
Do we allow self-induced suicide? No, we don't. You can't go kill yourself by law. We can't let you. If someone is discovered helping you to kill yourself, that's not accepted. The law will incarcerate you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for your call, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, sir.
And remember the numbers to call to share with your opinions on this wonderful Monday. Is it Monday? I think it's Monday. No, this is a Tuesday. On this wonderful Tuesday, the 10th of my God, it's the 10th of May. 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. And we'll go to the next call. Thank you very much, caller, for patience. We'd love to hear what you have to say.
We need justice, law, and order in this country. You know, in Exodus, chapter 20, I think it, on this, the sixth commandment says, "Thou shalt not kill." I wonder where the church is on this situation. We're not hearing anything about, pertaining to the churches on this situation. And the thing is, people are saying we are a Christian nation. Okay? That's killing. If the Bible says thou shalt not kill, and we're saying we are a Christian nation, I don't think government has the right to go contrary to the scriptures. I want to hear the church. Get the church in on this. So much slackness happening in this country.
Okay. All right. Thanks, call. I want to read some of these text messages before we run out of time. Appreciate your call. Okay. This texter is being a little petty, but that's okay. I'm going to give you your time in the sunshine anyway. Says, "Mr. Parker, are you still the mouthpiece for BPL? How difficult is it to make excuses where there are none? Was the money worth the BS you fed us? Just curious." Texter, for your sake, I will say this. No, I do not work at BPL anymore, number one. Number two, I made no excuses. I simply told you the truth. If you didn't like it, that's your fault. Number three, the money was never the point. And I never fed you any BS. The whole point of public relations is to tell the truth. And if the truth is unpopular, then it is. So thank you for your text and may God bless you and your family. This next texter says, "I think legalizing abortion is sort of hypocritical because we're telling the ghetto youth don't kill, but when they could kill, that's sort of twisted." This next texter says, "Quincy, I'm stunned by your last comment. How do you make abortion safe? How do you make the murder or the killing of a child safe? Abortion is certainly not safe for the child. Let's not spin the reality of what we're talking about. Abortion is murder, plain and simple." This texter says, "Good morning, Quincy. In response to the gentleman who just called saying to give the child up for adoption if the pregnancy is unwanted, let him know that we're going to have the child and give it to him." This next texter says, "Q.caller has no understanding that our Bahamas has the highest rape per capita in the region, so he should learn his facts before speaking. Rape and incest is common in our 242. This next texter says, "Why do men feel they have the right to be so for women's bodies?" And this texter says, "We don't hang murderous psychopaths in this country, but want to contemplate killing, quote, innocent babies. How foolish are we to become mixed up and confused like the U.S.? And that is the question, isn't it? I chose this topic today because what is happening is likely to lead to significant change in the United States in terms of how the young women or not so young women who go about getting abortions do it. Some of them are risking their lives in order to do it. It is it is not enough for us to just bury our heads in the sand and say that we should not make provision. It's like, I remember in the 1980s and 90s, I remember a certain youth group in church where you could go to get condoms as well as counseling to not have premarital sex. And the point that the youth pastor was trying to make was, listen, number one, don't do this, but free will. And you're going to choose whether you obey God's law, quote unquote, or don't. If you choose to do this, do it safely. Here's a condom. Try to protect yourself and the person with whom you are having sex. The idea of abortion being murder is one that is fundamentally, deeply seated in our culture. But the fact is, it is happening in this country. There are doctors who are providing this service for families, for women and for families. Because I don't want you to think that every abortion is happening without the baby father's knowledge. And I would like to suggest that in at least half the cases, the choice of an abortion was more than half. And probably half the time the man says, yes, you should have an abortion and I'll pay for it. So we need to be careful that we try to set up a society where people protect or are protected, where we protect the least of us, right? Who has abortions in America right now? Under the current law, about 1 in 4 American women would be expected to obtain an abortion at least one time in their life. That's 1/4 of all women. The statistics in America, again, show that the women who receive abortions are more likely to be in their 20s, to have low income, and to already have a child. They are disproportionately likely to be Black. And with some college education. Right? We're looking at ourselves. And I think that we need to be clear that this isn't about us. This is about protecting everyone. Now, the hard conversation has to include whether everyone includes the child. Okay, and this last texter, well, I won't make this person the last texter. They say, hey, dummy. The Ecclesiastes does say it's a time to kill. Check it out, fool. Well, thank you for your text. Quincy, and this last text says, Quincy, the Bible says we shouldn't do a number of things, like sex before marriage. Are we living up to the Bible standards in that regard? Thank you very much for joining me and for lending your thought and patience to this discussion. And I look forward to seeing you next time here on Guardian 8 Radio AM. Enjoy the revolution with Juan McCartney. They're up next. God bless. Take care.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.